Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
Did you know that Jesus' brother, half-brother, James, wrote a book? And it's in the Bible.
Thank you, Jim.
That would be an interesting book to read. James starts his book by saying, "Count it all joy. Get joyful when you fall into trials, tribulations, tests, because these things will build up your endurance, your strength, and understanding, and you will become complete, entire, full, and wanting nothing." A formula for godly success, and as Graham Cook says, brilliant thinking. Today, our guest is originally from Southampton, England. He was called to come to the United States and start a ministry. So today, our guest teacher will be teaching us to count it all joy. Count trials as our friends, because they can give you something you really need. Yes, in these cases, God can teach you something. He can make something out of them that you really need. And here he is in a two-part series, a pastor, an author, a teacher, from Brilliant Bookhouse, Graham Cook.
We'll talk to you this evening about building the right mindset. You know, every action is rooted in the thought that produced it. There is a reason why the Father wants us to take every thought captive to obedience. Because if a thought is not captive, if it's not captive to obedience, then we become captured by it in a wholly unappealing way. Your thoughts are either going to make you or they're going to break you. They're going to advance you or they're going to retard your growth in the Spirit. Every action is rooted in the thought that produced it. Wrong thinking, therefore, makes a way for negative behavior. James 1:5-8. Let me read that to you. James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So that's a good thing, right? That means you should go, trial, yahoo! Happy birthday to me. Woohoo! You should be calling your friend. I've got a trial today. And your friend's going to go, dude, I'm jealous. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The whole point of a trial is to give you something. Not to take anything away from you. It is to advance you. It is to add something to you. That's why you should be joyful. Because God allows in His wisdom what He could easily prevent by His power. So He adds a trial to you because it's His way of bringing you into a fresh place and a fresh anointing. So when we're partnering with God, we always have to partner through laughter. We partner with God in joy. That means we partner through laughter. We partner through smiling, through grinning, because there are no Eeyores in heaven. They've all been changed in the twinkling of an eye on the way up. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There's only one way to think. There's only one thought to have in any situation. And that's the one that Jesus is having about it. Yeah? So when we are learning how to walk with God, we are submitting ourselves to the way that He thinks. We're submitting ourselves to the way that He perceives that situation to be from His own heart and His own affection and His own intentionality. And we're submitting to the way that God wants things done so that we can actually receive an upgrade. What if every single situation had an upgrade attached to it? I believe it does. In the generosity of God, every situation, good, bad, or ugly, has something tangible in it for us to receive and enjoy. Count it all joy. When various trials and situations occur, because the whole point is that you will be lacking in nothing in that situation. So your thinking has to release you to a point where you receive something, no matter what the circumstances are. It's impossible for us to receive when our thinking is not renewed in that situation. So think of it this way. Every circumstance you have is an opportunity for you to think brilliantly about God, about yourself, about the situation that you're in. The mind of Christ is the most profound, most dynamic, most incredible, amazing way of thinking ever. And He sees things that you couldn't imagine by yourself. So the mind of Christ opens you up to see what heaven is doing. Right thinking will always generate faith. Here's the point. Your starting place always guarantees the outcome. Your starting place always guarantees the outcome. If you start from a bad place, the outcome is not going to be what you want it to be. But if you start from the place that God has actually assigned to that issue, to that situation, to that circumstance, He's assigned a starting place for you. The place where you can come and stand and connect. Yeah, and when you find that starting place and you stand in it and you embrace it and you confess it to the Father, then your outcome is guaranteed from that place. So in every situation, one thing is of paramount importance. And that is that you discover the starting place in that situation where God can connect with you and prepare you for the upgrade that's actually there. But you can see it. Sometimes we get so hung up with the situation, we can't see anything. We let it get so up front with us, so up close, we can't see anything. Every situation carries an upgrade with it. Your starting place guarantees the outcome. And the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit is to teach us the starting place in each situation we find. And that's part of the reason why we grow up into all things in Christ, because we're learning where is our point of connection in this situation with Him. And when you get a different situation, you're looking for that point of connection because you know that one exists. It's there because of who He is. And because of how He sees you, and because He has this joyful job of making each one of us Christ-like. So Jesus was never stumped by anything. He knew the point of connection with His Father. He would often say, I only do what the Father's doing. I only say what He's saying. So in every situation you face, your point of connection is the Father is saying something here, and He wants to do something here, and I need to find that starting place, and the Holy Spirit is going to show me, because my starting place guarantees the outcome in the circumstance that I'm facing. Therefore, every situation we're in has a real critical point of excitement. It's a Yahoo moment. you go through a day without having a situation, you're going to get withdrawal symptoms. Scripture says, of Him are you in Christ Jesus. That's your starting place. Father, I'm in Christ. So everything that should come into this situation comes to the Jesus in me. Yeah? Heaven is attracted to Jesus. Why do you think God put you in Christ in the first place? Why do you think He put you in Christ and put Christ in you? Because all of the kingdom, all of heaven, is attracted to the Jesus in you. That should make life extremely interesting. Yeah? I wonder, Lord, what is being attracted to Christ in me right now? We need to break the cycle of fear and anxiety and worry and doubt and unbelief, because a double-minded man is unstable. I'm not sure what a double-minded woman is. Maybe it's only the men who are double-minded. This may be the only time that men admit that, you know, men and women, it's genderless. Okay, it's going to take a while. Everything comes to the Jesus in you. Everything comes to your new nature. It doesn't matter what your struggles are. The Father is pretty clear in Himself about how He sees you. He says that you are a new creation. Yeah? A new creature. All the old things have passed away. Everything has become new, and all things are of God. What does that mean? It means there were two creations in humanity. One was pre-cross, and one was post-cross. Pre-cross, in the Old Testament, people could have the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they lived in a visitation culture. God came, there were seasons and times. God came, He visited, He came upon people, He gave them special graces and powers and anointings to do certain tasks. That was one creation. Visitation culture, God could come upon them. But a post-resurrection culture changed all of that, and a whole new people group emerged who don't have God living on them, they have God living in them. So now the New Testament is not a visitation culture at all, it's a habitation culture. Because the presence of God is with you. Jesus said the kingdom shall be in you. You carry the kingdom with you everywhere, and God is not coming upon you anymore. He's rising up from within because He's already taken up residence. So you are a new creation. You are a people group never seen in the earth before. That's what new creation means. So we live in a habitation culture, and what we are doing is we are maintaining the habitat. Yeah? It's called abiding. We're learning how to stay, how to dwell, how to remain in who Jesus is for us. And we're learning that in every situation I face, God is already in this situation with me because I carry Him in the inner man of my spirit. And we're learning, therefore, that God is not touching us from outside. He's actually rising up from within because He's already taken up residence in us. I thought that was good news. The good news is your old nature is dead. Yahoo. And we are learning how to be alive to God. God gives us permission. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to me. The enemy would like you to consider yourself alive to sin and potentially having difficulties with God. Yeah, he's such a liar. The Lord says, no, I want you to consider yourself dead to all those things that would disqualify you and alive to me, because I'm the great qualifier. So we are learning to be focused on our real identity in Jesus. That means, therefore, we seek His perspective and His abilities in every situation. I want to know what Jesus is thinking. I want to know what He's praying, because I want to pray the same thing. I want to think the same way. I want to see this issue the way he sees it. And I'm waiting until I get that revelation. I'm not doing anything. I want to know what my starting point is, because I want my outcome guaranteed from that place. Scripture says it's Christ in us which is the expectation of glory. The confident expectation of something glorious occurring in this situation. We don't want to be in Christ and still falling short of the glory of God. Every one of your situations has a potential to carry some glory within it. Yeah? Because Jesus is glorious, and if he's living in you, that's going to make you somewhat glorious yourself. So look at your neighbor and say, you're starting to shine. Scripture says, okay, time out. Jeez, give you guys an inch. Scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. That is situational. It's circumstantial. It's for every area of life. In him we live, we move, we have our being. He's connected. He wants to make that connection stronger through the situation that he allows, and often the situation he provokes. Our starting point is that we're a new creation in Christ. All the old has passed away. Everything's become new. Everything is of God. Whatever issue we face, here's the thing. Every issue you face, that issue is already in Christ because he's in you. You can't have a life in Christ and then have an issue as a separate thing. That's weird thinking. Every issue in your life is in Christ because you are. That's a starting point. If you're in Christ, so is your situation. Whatever issue we face is already in Christ. That is good news. That's good news. It means you can't fail. You're in Christ, so is the problem you're facing. It's in Jesus. That would be a Yahoo moment. So what that means is every issue you face is already assigned an outcome that God wants to generate. Yeah, now that's thinking brilliantly. Every issue you're facing has already been assigned an outcome that God wants to generate. So you're feeling pretty curious right now, huh? You're like going, cool, then I should just take all my problems for a spin and find out what all my upgrades are. Never let a circumstance rob you of your identity. Jesus is all and in all. Yeah? He is your divine advantage. Your starting place guarantees your outcome. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, God always leads us in triumph. That's a good starting place. Start with a win in your thinking. I am so going to win. Yeah? People accuse me of being triumphalistic. Guilty as charged. I resemble that remark. Why would you want to live any other way? Why would you want to make allowances for being defeated when you could make allowances for winning every time? So in your starting place then, in every situation, is there's a victory for me in this situation, and I'm so going to find it. This situation is designed to draw me into a space with God where I win something. He always gives us the victory in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Therefore, we fight from victory, not towards it. Because victory is your starting place. Yeah? So you're not trying to get somewhere in this situation. What if you're already there and you just need to know what where there is? Yeah? You're already, there's a breakthrough been assigned to you. There's an outcome assigned already. There's a victory assigned to you. Brilliant thinking says, I'm just going to worship the Lord until I get a revelation of what that is. Then I'm going to move. Yeah? That's why rejoicing and thanksgiving is so critical. Because what are we rejoicing over? We're rejoicing that God is with us and He never leaves us. We're giving thanks because He has assigned an outcome to my issue, to my situation, to my problem. So I'm giving thanks already in advance because I can't live in Jesus and not be favored. It's against the law of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says, you're in Him, you're subject to all that He is vulnerable to in heaven. And He's vulnerable to a lot on your behalf. He ever lives to make intercession for you. What's He doing? He's praying that you'll get it. He's praying that you'll see it. He's praying that you'll get it. He's praying that you'll own it. He's praying that every trial will advance you, that every trial will make you grow up, that every trial will make you happier, more stable, more sensitive to Him, more brilliant in life, as it is designed to do, because every trial has an outcome from heaven already assigned to it, and it is your pleasure to discover the will of God. That's thinking brilliantly. In Christ, we never start with a deficit. We begin with the outcome that He sees over us. I can do all things in Christ who empowers me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ. I can do this. That's the attitude of the Holy Spirit. He can do everything. He's a genius. He's always saying, Graham, tell them I'm a genius because they live like they don't know. He's the one who comes along and he says, I can do that. You want some help with that? I'm really good at that. I know exactly how to do that. You want me to talk to you about that? I'll talk to you about that. You want a bit of advice? I got some great advice. I know exactly what to do in that situation. And to Him, everything is doable. Everything is doable. I can do that. I'm really good at that. That's my specialty. And you discover that everything is His specialty. Because He's a genius and He doesn't mind letting you know. Yeah, I'm a genius. That's why I got this job. Because I'm a genius. I love problems. I eat problems. I love every issue because every issue is in Jesus and I know exactly what He's praying and I'm working in line with what He's praying. This good news is starting to look better, eh? Here's the thing. Because you're in Christ, it's the perfect starting place. Because it banishes all negative thinking, all low self-esteem, all weariness, and all passivity. So problems refresh you. Problems have a way of just blessing the socks off you. So what if refreshing is attached to every problem? Wouldn't that be just like God? To take everything that the enemy wants to make you weary. So everything God does, He wants to do the opposite of what the enemy is doing. The enemy wants to make you tired, weary, fearful, anxious. God wants to make you rested, refreshed, joyful, and full of trust. And Yahoo, I love this life. So our focus on the beginning of something is really about being refreshed. Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. He's so generous, He's not content to give you one river. He wants to give you several. So what that means is when you've got rivers flowing out of you, you're either going to spend a long time in the bathroom or you're just going to learn to be extremely happy all the time and refreshed. What if every problem is designed to refresh you and not make you weary and not make you tired and not make you anxious, but do the exact polar opposite. That would be good news. That would be the gospel. That would be heaven coming to earth. Because there's no weariness in heaven. And you're connected. What if we're learning how to live a life above tiredness, above weariness? What if we're not designed to be empty, we're only designed to be full? Your starting place guarantees your outcome. So our focus at the beginning is on being empowered in our thinking so that our emotions can become energized. Otherwise, our emotions are going to feed off all that negativity. And then we get into a place where I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. And our mind has talked us out of something. Our emotions and our thinking are conspiring against our spirit when they should be submitting to it. You know when your emotions are running the show because your thinking is weak. A negative mindset establishes your inability. I can't do it. I'm no good. It's too big. We're not strong enough. We're not big enough. We're not powerful enough. We feel like grasshoppers in our own sight. I would say things like, oh, well, you know, it's not really me. I'm too scatty. I can't do that. That's not my strong point. Really, I'm totally disorganized. And what we're doing all the time is we're confessing to something that we're not rather than confessing to who we really are. Jesus is in you. You stop being scatty when he came in. You stop being disorganized. You stop being this thing that you attribute to your old nature, because that's dead. You've got a new nature. You need to start confessing in line with it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who empowers me, who enables me. There isn't anything I can't learn, and there isn't anything I can't do with the help of the Holy Spirit and six friends. Don't reinforce a negative. There is a difference between that which is true and that which is the truth. In Christ, there's always a higher level of truth than the facts. Some things may be true, but the truth sets us free. You know, speaking the truth in love is not about telling people all their shortcomings in the nicest possible way. That's not speaking, and I'm saying this in love, brother. No, you're not, you lying little toad. Speaking the truth in love is not telling someone's shortcomings as nicely as possible, because that's not the truth. That's only true. But the truth is, they're dead in Christ, and all that stuff is done away. The truth is, this is who you are in Jesus. So when we're speaking the truth in love, we're not putting someone down nicely. We're elevating someone brilliantly. We're saying to people, you don't need to be doing that because this is who you are, and you speak the truth in love, and you empower them. You make them want to become that person. Dude, this is who you are. You're brilliant. You're this, you're this, you're this. This is who Jesus is for you. That's who Jesus is for you. You can do this because he's with you. And you're speaking the truth in love because the truth is a person and his name is Jesus. So you're speaking Jesus to people when you speak the truth in love. This is who Jesus is for you. This is why you're going to have an amazing, astonishing life. This is why God is going to lift you out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. Because no one can be ordinary in Jesus. It's not allowed.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.